Ephesians chapter 5. We'll pick back up in verse 3. We looked at 1 and 2 last week. The title of this message, Children of Light, Walking in a Dark World. He's speaking here to the church at Ephesus, to believers, Gentiles, for the most part, Gentiles made up that church. And they had a lifestyle that was totally opposite of the gospel. Totally opposite of God. Totally opposite. You know, Paul told us in chapter 2 that we were dead in trespasses and sins. Were, that's a key word, were, you're not now. You're not dead in those things now. You're alive. You've been made alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That we were children of wrath by nature, even as others, but not now. Not now. But God, who's rich in mercy, has saved us by His grace. He has loved us. And God has saved us by His grace. I'd like you to put Selah after that. Pause and think about that statement. That we are the workmanship of God in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He foreordained before the foundation of the world. And that we should walk in them. In other words, we're different. We are different. The church is different. We are not, listen, we are not what we should be. But we are not what we used to be. We are not what we used to be. And Paul, you know, I noticed here as I read this again, verse 1 and 2, how Paul, He just gives us this reason, this glorious reason for our walk and to be imitators of God, because He has loved us and given Himself for us. He's loved us and given Himself for us. And because of that, we're to be followers, imitators of God. There is a walk. There is a walk that's pleasing to God. You can see that over in Colossians 1:10. And there is a walk that's not pleasing to God. You can see that over in Romans 8:8. He that walks in the flesh cannot please God. And there's a walk that brings down the wrath of God on men and women. There's a walk that brings down the wrath of God. Free grace does not mean free sinning. Free grace does not mean free sinning. Grace teaches us to deny ungodliness. It's a teaching grace. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. Now, after Paul mentions what he says in verse 1 and 2, he begins to name these sins of the flesh and spirit that's not to even be mentioned, he says, not even to roll off our lips. He said it's a shame to even mention some of these things that the Gentiles were doing. And are doing this day. I feel like this letter is relevant to this day. It's relevant. Now, why does Paul mention these sins of the flesh in verses 3 and 4? First of all, it's a picture of humanity. This is the human race. This is what the human race is like. But he also mentions it because this is the way they used to walk and would be tempted to walk that way again. You know, that old nature is still in us. It's still with us. And it's a warfare that we struggle with day by day. That old nature still wants to walk the way of the flesh. It still wants to walk that way. And so Paul mentions these things. And this, and what he's mentioning is their lifestyle the way it used to be. This was them. This was us. In one form or another, this is us. But fornication, sexual relationship before marriage, in our day, that's just common, isn't it? It's absolutely common. You're looked down on. You're looked down on as weird if you don't. You're looked down on as weird. There's something wrong with you. I talked to a younger man here not long ago. And he was talking about dating. And he said, they think you're strange. He said, women think you're strange if you don't want to have a sexual relationship with them. They think there's something wrong with you. That's what it's gotten to. And that's what it was like in that day. It was very common. It was a common practice. And uncleanness. This is homosexuality, incest, adultery. This was their lifestyle. Now listen, God forgives everyone whom God saves. He forgives us of our sins. He forgives us of all these things that are mentioned. He forgives us of them. Somebody said this one time, and I've never forgotten it, and I've mentioned it here several times. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." But he didn't live like one after God saved him. He didn't live like a wretch, but he was one. I'm a wretch. Are you a wretch? You're a wretch. I'm a wretch, saved by the grace of God. But brethren, we don't live like a bunch of wretches. We don't do it. But God has saved us from that. God didn't save me in my sins. He saved me from my sins. He said here, and uncleanness, you notice that Paul, in about all his letters, he's always mentioning this thing about this immoral behavior, because this was the lifestyle of the Gentiles. It was their lifestyle, and they saw nothing wrong with it. And notice what he mentions here, uncleanness or covetousness. He throws covetousness right in there with incest, adultery, homosexuality, fornication. He throws covetousness right in there. You say, well, I've never been a fornicator. One lady braggingly said one time, I was a virgin when I got married. Well, there's virgins in hell. Because if that's what you're trusting to, you missed it. Jesus Christ is our salvation. Not my purity, because I am not pure. Because I tell you this, whatever I may not have done outwardly, I promise you I've done inwardly. This heart is a cesspool. This heart is a cesspool of sin. We cannot brag about not doing anything, because there's people we'd like to shoot. Really? I tell you, there have been a few people I'd like to shoot over the years. I'm being honest. There have been people that have made me mad enough to just beat the daylights out of them. You ever hated your brother without a cause? You ever look on a woman to lust after her? Women? You ever look on a man? Nowadays they call it eye candy. That's what they call it. No, it's not. It's sin. It's not eye candy. It's sin. That's what it is. I had a young man tell me. He said, I got saved. He didn't say, the Lord saved me. He said, I got saved. That's what it was. He didn't say, the Lord saved me. That'd have been a different thing. But he said, I got saved. And then he said, I still like to look on women. This is a young man. He said, as long as I look and don't touch, I'm all right. And I said, No, you're not. I don't know who told you, who blew that kind of smoke, but no, you're not. God said he looks on the heart. God looks on the heart. Covetous, you know what covetousness is? You ever desire something more than what God's given you? You ever have your heart set on something and you just couldn't stop until you got it, until you went and bought it? You ever do that? That's idolatry. The scripture says covetousness is idolatry. These are spiritual sins. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Those set apart for God's glory. Those set apart and made holy. That's what a saint is. That's what a saint is. And neither filthiness. Sooner or later it gets us, doesn't it? I mean, you say, well, I didn't do that. Well, then just hang on. It'll get you. I guarantee you. Hang in there. You ever just joke around? foolish jesting. Someone said, there's an element of truth in every joke. Oh, I just joking with you. Well, there's an element of truth in there somewhere. You might be joking with me, but there's a punch in there's a punchline in there somewhere. Let it not be one's name has become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. I'm guilty of that. Nor jesting. Henry had in his Bible lesson, even good humor can be too much. Even good humor can be too much. And I told Henry one time, I said, I have to watch it in my preaching. I have to watch it because I can be given to humor. I could be a stand-up comic. Doris told me one time I missed my calling. We had a birthday party for Terry Elliott. Most of y'all don't know him, but I do. He was a good friend, him and Danita. We had a Terry Elliott roast because he's kind of a jokester like me. And I got up and I roasted him. And Dora said, "You missed your calling." I could be a jokester. I have to work on it. I have to watch it. I do. I have to watch. I have to watch it, especially in the pulpit. But we're all given to something, aren't we? Foolish talking. Here's something I thought of. This is something I thought of just struck me when I was going over this. If we do too much foolish talking and jesting, nobody's going to listen to us when we're serious. Am I right? Nobody's going to take me serious when I have to be serious. So that's important. That's important. Very good humor. But the filthiness here is a filthy language. Filthy language, filthy jokes. And that was their lifestyle. And this was our lifestyle. You know that. One way or another it was. Which are not convenient. They don't build up. These things don't build up the church. They don't build up. We don't build brothers and sisters up like that with this language. We don't do it. Isn't this good to go verse by verse? Because most times this is never dealt with. And this is what we have the most problem with. I can't tell you over the years how many times people have asked me, other believers have asked me about things that they would know if this was dealt with. But that we don't deal with these things. Most of the time. And that's why I thank God we go this verse by verse. But rather, listen, giving of thanks, thanking God, thanking one another, it's an attitude here. Here's an attitude. The liberal thinking of our day sees nothing wrong with these things. They don't see nothing wrong with a good joke. You ever notice all these comedians that stand up and joke? Ever notice how filthy they are? They're always filthy. Always filthy. And they see nothing wrong. Today's thinking is like, that was old time religion, fornication, but it's nothing. You need to get up to date. This is old time religion. No, it isn't. It's true religion. It's true. Thank God He saved you from these things. And then secondly, the church is different. The church is a shining light in the world. You know that? You take the church out of this world and there's nothing but darkness. Where are they going to learn the truth? How are they going to learn the truth? Somebody comes into this room. How are they going to learn the truth? They're going to learn it through the church, telling the truth. What about work where you live? What about where you work, where you work, and even in your home, your children? How are they going to learn the truth? By your example and your words, telling the truth, telling them the truth. You're the light. Listen to Philippians 2, 14 through 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. They don't have any light but you. Christ said, I send you out into the world. You go out into the world. You're light. You're light. I've met people in their religion. I thought, well, buddy, what you got? If it doesn't do any more for you than that, I don't want it. Right? If it doesn't save me from my sins, I don't want it. Holding forth the word of life, he says. Listen, you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. That's what you do everywhere you go. You may not always do it in word. You know, you and I are walking epistles. You know that? Paul said that about the Thessalonians. You are walking epistles, known and read of all men. I don't want to be a stumbling block to anyone. And I'm sure I have been. He says over in verse 8 that you were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, children of knowledge and understanding. And then thirdly, he says this, he mentions these sins, to show sin as sin. They didn't know they were sin. They didn't know that. In fact, that one lawyer back in during that time made prostitution legal. You can't legalize immorality. We don't have that power. Washington, D.C. does not have the power to legalize immorality. That's of God. God's the standard, okay? You and I are not the standard. God is. And that's the standard everybody will be judged by, is God. And Paul wrote this, that these sinful practices were very sinful. They were very acceptable in that day, but in our day, no. And in our day it is too. In our day it is. And then second of all, you cannot be an imitator of God and walk after flesh. God's Spirit. Can you? You can't do it. These are not the works of righteousness or the works of the flesh. And then, because you did not learn this from Christ. He said, you've not so learned Christ. You didn't learn to live like this from Christ. When you heard the gospel, is this what you were taught? When you heard the gospel of the grace of God, the power of God, is this the lesson? No, the lesson was come out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing and I'll receive you. And then it's not consistent with your calling. He said, be ye holy for I'm holy. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul said to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. You're called. You're sanctified, you're set apart, you're made holy. You're called to be saints. Children of God. Children of God. Now here's something you know, and you've learned this through the preaching of the gospel and being taught this by the Spirit of God. Here's what you know. You're a taught people. You have knowledge. You're not ignorant no more. You're not ignorant. You've been taught of God. You and I have been taught of God. Here's what you know. That no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Why? Because there's been no change. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, it says. There's got to be a change. Got to be a change. There's got to be a change in spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Paul said in Galatians 5:21, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, such like of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They which do. This is their lifestyle. Every one of us lived like this at one time. But you were washed. You're washed. You've been called of God. You've been born of God. You don't live like this no more. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. It's got to be a change. You know, the scripture says, nothing that offends shall enter into the kingdom of God. Turn over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21. In verse, let me see here. In verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything, talking about the kingdom of heaven, enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. No other shall enter into that. There's got to be a change made. That's what Paul's telling them. He's saying, you're the church. You are different. You're the light of the world. You're the only... If you think it's bad now, if you and I think it's bad now, the immorality that goes on, just take the church out. There's no standard. There's no standard. If you take the believer, the church, the body of Christ, out of this world, there is no standard. You set the standards. The only reason the whole world is not given over to this completely, 100%, is because there's a light in it, the church. And you set the standard. And listen, you not only set it by the message we preach, but by the life you live. The life you live. Now listen, in verse 6, don't let any man deceive you with vain words. Don't let any liberal thinker, that's what he's called, don't you let any liberal philosophical man come along and deceive you with words like Satan did Eve. Don't do that. Don't let him come along and say, well, there's nothing real. You know, we might have to rethink this. You know, Jesus loves everybody. Well, I don't know what Bible you're reading, but he said he hates the workers of iniquity. And it's time we tell people that. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And God had every right in the world to hate Esau. It's amazing he loved Jacob. It's amazing God loves me and you who believe. That's astounding. That ought to become more and more astounding to us the older we get. And I tell you what, the more we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ, the more amazing grace will be and the more astounding His love to us will be. That He would love a wretch like me. Don't listen to the liberal thinkers of our day. Don't listen to them. Now, because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the world. God gave us examples, didn't He? He sent a flood one time and drowned the whole world. He looked down from heaven and He saw that the imagination of man's heart and mind was evil, and that continually. He didn't have a good thought. It was continual. One continual progressive thought of evil. He burned up Sodom and Gomorrah. God's given us examples. How many examples do we need? It's amazing He even gave us an example. He didn't have to. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the world. In verse 7 through 10, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't you join up with them. You've been separated. Don't go back. Don't be like Lot's wife who looked back. Her heart was back there in Sodom. Don't go back. Here's why. You were sometimes darkness. You were just like them. Children of wrath by nature, even as others. You're just like them, but you're not now. You're different. You're different and you live different. You think different. You love different things. You're different. But now are you light in the Lord? You've been taught. You've been taught of God. You have spiritual light. God's given you knowledge. Believers are the most intelligent people on this earth. You know it. You're the most wise and intelligent people on this earth. I mean, you may not know how to change a tire on a truck, but you're still intelligent, wise people. God's made you that way. You know who God is. Isn't that amazing? You know who God is. It's extremely rare to find anyone on this earth that knows who God is. You're light in the Lord. Now walk before this world, walk where you work, walk before your family, walk as children of light, children of knowledge, children of understanding, children of wisdom. Walk that way. Walk in the light. And He said He'll give you more light. And here's the evidence that you're children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. It's not in fornication and uncleanness and dirty jokes. Do you want a God like that? I don't want a God like that. I want a God to save me from that. That's what I want. Proving, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, proving by the life you live, by experience, what is acceptable of the Lord. You can't be a partaker with them because you were darkness, now you're light, and you can't do that. You know better. You've been born of God, and this is your new life. It's a life of goodness and righteousness and truth. And putting to the test, that word proving means putting to the test what's acceptable. The believer has been renewed in mind, in which he or she walks. And by that walk, you prove day by day what's acceptable of God. Because if you start to walk wrong, he's chasing you. He'll chasten his children. Now, I promise you. He said he would. And then listen, in verse 11, 12. And have no fellowship. It doesn't say don't have too much fellowship now. You know, it's like you can have too much to drink. But you can drink a little bit. But you don't have too much, you get drunk. He says here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather reprove them. Now, it doesn't mean you always go around and say, don't talk like that. Or don't do this or don't do that. No, reprove them by your life. You actually reprove them by your life. The lifestyle you live in front of them. That's how you reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. We don't even talk about what they do in secret. But in those here, he said, have no fellowship. I've always remembered this. I think, believe it, Scott Richardson said, fellowship is fellows in the same ship. We're not in the same ship no more. We're not in the same ship. We don't have the same things in common. We don't. Don't have them in common at all. And simply put, believers don't run with the world. Unbelievers are not our companions. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. Turn over there and let's read it. Look in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship? And here's, he gives a contrast here. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The great difference is this. When you walk out and you leave them, they're like, and I had this said to me, why don't you do that anymore? Why don't you go with this anymore? So I'm not interested in that no more. I'm just not interested in it. And that's how the world sees a difference. That's how they see a difference. In your attitude, in your conduct, in your walk, in your talk. Everything. In everything. Someone said this. I copied this down. I can't remember who it was. The point of this exhortation is in the adjective unfruitful. The works of darkness are unfruitful. They produce no goodness, give rise to no satisfaction, to no moral results that are a joy forever. Or if fruit they have, it is shame, remorse, and despair. Don't make them your companions. But all things, listen, in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You know that, let me give you an example here. The disciples at one time thought the Pharisees were somebody, didn't they? Everybody thought they were. Everybody thought if anybody's going to go to heaven, a Pharisee would. And you know what the Lord said to him? And I'm sure the disciples standing there, you're of your father the devil. These are the children of Satan. And I bet you they're like, Really? I mean, I bet their jaw dropped. You just called them Satan's children. Christ, who is the light, makes manifest what's really true and right and what's wrong. That which is light makes manifest. It gives us true understanding of good and evil. Most of the time we think, you know, we think that, you know, all this immorality I just read of, fornication, all this. You know what that is? You say, well, you know, Satan got a hold of them. No, that's just men and women being themselves. That's literally just you and I being ourselves. Satan don't have to do anything for us to be what Paul just gave us a list of. Satan's work is in the pulpit. It's in self-righteousness. It's in the moral majority. It's getting you to look at anything but the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Wherefore he saith, in verse 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now who's Paul writing to? He's writing to believers. This is to the Ephesians. This is what he's saying. He's writing to believers. And the reason he's saying this is sometimes we need to be revived. We sing a song, Revive Us, O Lord. Revive us. Do you need revived? I need revived every day. Revive us, O Lord. Revive us. I need revived. I need awakened. I need rebuked. When I study to preach to you, it rebukes me. It rebukes me. The Word of God instructs and it rebukes. And a wise woman will take that rebuke. You'll take it and learn from it. You won't be offended by it. You'll take it and you say, Lord, help me. Help me to forsake this or that, or help me. You don't get mad. You fall down at His feet. The Word of God doesn't rebuke you. You're dead. You're just dead. When I read the Word of God, I can go away sometimes and I thought, how in the world can I call myself a believer? How can I call myself a believer? By the Word of God. By the grace of God. Listen. Turn over to Romans 13. I'm going to wind this down. Romans 13. In Romans 13, let me find the verse 11. Yeah, verse 11. Here's what he's talking about. Who he's talking to. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's high time to wake up. Be serious. Get serious. That's what he's saying. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness or in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. He's writing to the Romans who lived like this. This was their life. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put Him on. Wear Him. And make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Take heed, he says. Take heed. And I'm going to close. See that you walk circumspectly. Carefully. Carefully. You know, and I'm serious with this. With me. And I'm serious with this, me and you. To walk carefully is to do what? It's to take one step at a time and pay attention to where you just stepped. It's to take another step. Pay attention where you just stepped. It's not just lollygagging down the road. Like I was years ago when I was a teenager. Me and my brother James were squirrel hunting back in a place called Watoga in West Virginia. I was just looking up in the trees, looking for squirrels, just walking around lollygagging. He grabbed me and pulled me back, and a rattlesnake was right there in the path. I mean, it was a big rattlesnake. I wasn't paying a bit of attention when I was walking. If he hadn't done that, I'd have stepped right on that rascal. Pay attention. When you take one step, think about it. Then take another one. Not as fools, but wise. Redeeming the time. Make the best use of your time. Don't waste time. You know, I can say this, and I'm ashamed of this. I'm going to say this, and I'm ashamed of it. I ought to know a lot more than I know after 40-some years believing the gospel. I ought to know a lot more. I've ought to have prayed a lot more. I don't know because I'm not on my deathbed yet. But I think if I was lying on my deathbed, I think the one thing I'd regret is I didn't read more, pray more, seek the Lord more, study more, and give more. That's what I think would bother me. I didn't redeem the time. I thought, I've done this. I think I'll just sit down and watch TV for the next 4 hours. I couldn't tell you how many times I've done that. Redeeming the time. I'm not saying you can't sit down and watch TV, but redeeming the time is what it means. Make good use of time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, seeking the Lord's will in every step. Do we do that? We take a step. Lord, what's your will for the next step? What's your will for the next step? That's how our life is to be lived. And be not drunk with wine, which evidently there's a bunch of drunks God saved. God saves a bunch of drunks. But also it could be read like this. Be not drunk with the world. Be not drunk with the world. Wherein is excess? You put too much time in the world. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean rolling on the floor. That doesn't mean hollering whoopee and, you know, carrying on. Being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the knowledge of Christ. It's being filled with thoughts of Christ. But here's the evidence. Now listen, here's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, here it is. Speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. It's not this goosebump stuff running up and down your back and you say, "Ooh, that was a good service, wasn't it?" If Christ wasn't preaching, it was a demonic service. There's a whole lot of demonic services going on right now. Christ is not preached. Christ is not preached. Children of light, walking in the world. This is how we do it. This is our instructions. All right.
Number 62. And